Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Either way, Professor Bill Kalkbrenner and Ronit Eitan, good morning. It's been a while. How are you both?
Great. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So are we ready? I mean, what is Israel getting itself organized for Greta?
Well, let's give a little bit of background to this first, sure. Howard. So the first Gaza flotilla was, I think, 6 boats, and that was in 2010. And that did not end well for the people on the boat. It also did not
nor
end
for
well
any, nor for Turkey, nor for Israel.
Nor for, exactly, because the Israelis raided the ship and they ended up killing, I think, 10 people. So when Bibi, the prime minister, says that we're prepared this time, hopefully we're prepared not to kill people, especially since there are only 10 people on the boat.
Yeah.
It is interesting the way in which this has turned into. Greta says from the boat, and by the way, Howard, you've been making, you know, you have a lot of material now on this. But you haven't mentioned Liam Cunningham, who's on the boat, who was a Game of Thrones star. So he's also on the ship. Greta said that this is not only about Gaza. This is about humanity. Now, it is interesting the way in which, yet again, the war against the Jews is on behalf of the rest of humanity.
Greta
does not really seem to be a great spokesperson, and she was thrown into the limelight about climate change. And of course, she's also said that climate change and the Palestinian cause are inextricably intertwined, which is strange from the perspective of Israel, considering that our Palestinian cousins have been burning down the country as part of their eco-terrorism. So it's really hard to relate to that. I don't, Roni, are people in Tel Aviv, are people getting ready to welcome Greta?
So to answer your question, Howard, we just don't care. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, it's...
I love that. That is the most Tel Aviv answer in the whole world. Like, as math.
We just... Exactly. Mm. So what? Okay, yeah. So good for you. You're getting attention. You're tackling the hottest subject in the world right now, right? I mean, we're just... I mean, we're big, right? Mm. I mean, what's happening in Israel? So big. So it's like she's become like the butt of jokes. It's like, you know, there's so many jokes about her in Israel. It's like, so where are the sharks now? You know, there was a shark attack, you know, like a month ago. So now it's just, we can't deal with this. Like, we have enough problems. We really do. We really, really do. And for us, just looking at this, it's like, we're looking at it like almost like a freak show. We're saying, really? I mean, really, this is what you're doing? I mean, is this going to help? Is this going to make us just, you know, just sit down and just say, okay, we give up. We're, you know, you're right. You know, whatever you feel like we should do. It's just to us, it's almost like we're just tired. We're tired of this. And I feel like it also kind of goes back to the Hasbara thing that is happening now, where we feel there's like a void, you know, and nobody's explaining stuff to us. Nobody's explaining our position to the world. There is just this case of feeling lost. And I mean, I'm sorry that I'm taking it to that direction.
No, but I think you're right. I think you're right. Because if you juxtapose that, this silly little opportunist with what happened on the Piers Morgan show this week, where a highly qualified advocate is trying to explain the legality, and Piers Morgan is shutting her down because maybe the voice is too scary, and maybe Israel, and we've seen that, haven't we? The whole idea of BDS is to shut down any form of dialogue. And what Greta represents is the very antithesis of that. Here's a silly little person who's got nothing to contribute, absolutely no intelligence on the matter, no understanding of it.
Nothing.
But yet, hers is the image and the voice that everybody wants to hear and the world is giving attention to. Compare, juxtapose that, and I think, Ronit, you maybe deliberately or inadvertently are onto something, because it's actually all about the voices that are being heard.
You know, Howard, I think that the juxtaposition of Natasha Hausdorff, the lawyer who was on Piers Morgan, and Greta, who was photographed drinking a cocktail, by the way, on this Gaza flotilla boat, which is just so perfect, right?
It's absolutely like beautiful. I hope not with a plastic straw, God forbid.
Right. I think what happened on Piers Morgan was that Dave Smith, who has absolutely no expertise on anything, this is really where expertise is disqualifying. And this has happened really since, I mean, for ages now. The more you claim to know, the more you're implicated in it. So Natasha Hausdorff is implicated in it.
Yes.
And I know, you know, Howard, I've been reading what you say about Piers, that he's not an anti-Semite.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he is.
Who knows? But to me, it was that moment. You
no,
know,
no, it was a defining moment.
Out of the bed. Mm. And it was, I thought it was just like, you know, enough. We've had enough of these Jews. We've just had enough. You know, we let them talk. We gave them a state. And you know, I when I heard him speak and cursing on air, I thought, did he move to Newsmax or something? Is he really on television? Like, what is going on here? And the idea that that kind of language and that kind of attitude could be used to any other minority, it's unthinkable. So Greta is, you know, she's just part of a bigger story. And I don't know, Howard, if you know, James Carville in America, who was the brains behind Clinton. And he's such a likable guy. He's hilarious. And he also, another, just let it slip. He just said, those Jews, all they want are their tax cuts. It's just like, you know, it just starts coming out again.
So, yeah, because, and that's really what it is. And that's probably the frustration, is that it's all about the voices and the focus that people are given and awarded. You know, if you go back to that Piers Morgan thing, as you said, this Dave Smith, who's I've no idea why he suddenly has achieved any form of fame, because I don't find him funny or smart. So I'm really not sure what the other options are. But the way that him and Piers were smirking,
smugness.
And I hate to do that. I hate to say, you know, this was real. I thought it felt like misogyny, and I don't want to go there, because then I'm going to feel like I'm trying to be too woke, because it's actually all about the view and the opinion. But they actually didn't let her give her view and opinion. So in the absence of that, what else have you got? Is these two males attacking this woman, who all she's trying to do is give her view on something, and a very smart view and a well-informed view, but they won't hear it.
I have to say that two things to me just kind of shout out from that situation. Mm-hmm. A, the smugness of those people. And, you know, you mentioned the smirking. It's like, you know, it's, we feel, I mean, and it goes to my second point, where our voices, I mean, you know, it's slowly, I mean, we're becoming ostracized in a way that we didn't think. I mean, it was, evident at the beginning, but now it's even getting more and more and more scarier. And it's I do feel, like I said at the beginning, that we almost kind of gave up. Like, I don't see our government trying to explain themselves. They don't explain themselves to me. I don't even know what the hell is happening. So how can they explain themselves or what they're doing? And I want to believe that there is a thought process that goes, you know, beyond what we're doing. So why not, you know, stand and explain it to the people outside and to us? And then there's people who take it upon themselves, who are not, you know, who are just individuals who are really smart and well-spoken, but there's just so few of them. And I just, it was sad watching that. It was really, really sad, because it's just, there are not many of them. And that's why Israel is being boycotted. It's being ostracized. You know, we have a really bad reputation. Nobody wants to touch us as a brand, as a people, as a nation. And it just makes me really scared. I mean, it's not even about sad. It's scared. And then it's going to turn into anger, because, you know, I don't want it to be that way. But it's just a symptom. Really, isn't it?
Well,
to just silence us, to not hear us.
If I take my own, and I really don't want to make it about me, but if we look at that in a microcosm, when I had a weekly column on News 24, the largest South African publication, and I was consistently one of the most read columnists there, but they found an excuse, which was a tweet where I said that the Israel pager operation was brilliant, because it targeted Hezbollah terrorist. It did a brilliant, it was brilliant, and it was also quite cool in the sense in that whole James Bond way. And that was enough for News 24 to say, sorry, we can't associate with anybody who glorifies violence. Now, if you look at the list of their other contributors, they don't just glorify Hamas violence, but they actually champion it. So it was very, very clear that I had to be removed because I was too strong an Israel advocate for them to tolerate on that platform. And as a result of which, there are very few South African platforms that somebody like me, who is reasonably informed, I'm not the best informed, but I certainly have a more than a working knowledge than most people in this country, and yet I can't offer that view to any or virtually any local news outlet. So they've successfully done that. Now you take what happened on Piers Morgan, and this is repeated throughout every different environment, and then you hold up a little Greta, and the world's actually a very becoming a lot dumber,
scarier, and dumber. Howard, how do you, just kind of ask you a question? How do you think about your platform and Morning Mayhem, given what you've described as the situation outside?
So
do you feel more responsibility? More I feel diversity?
I've always felt an enormous responsibility. We're very blessed at Chai and in the Morning Mayhem, where we have a very, very not only significant number of listeners, but a very diverse crew of listeners. And just judging by the messages I get, I would say that more of our listeners are not Jewish than are Jewish, just by the numbers, in terms of perhaps local. Around the world, we also have a very, very decent and significant following. So all of this does make me feel very, very responsible, but also very blessed, because I can do something that I am passionate about, believe in, and I have a magnificent platform to be able to do that. That said, radio is still different to print form, so all of these mediums are important.
Well, Howard, I mean, I think, you know, that's really, for us, a kind of inspiration, because, you know, with us at Writing on the Wall in Balagan, which we haven't mentioned on the air, I mean, you wrote the most hilarious piece in our humor issue. And I think what you're saying is that we have to strengthen ourselves internally. And we do that through conversation, through talking to each other. You know, there's so many fact checkers, and after a while, that fact checking is just exhausting. We need them there. Thank God me and Ronit are not doing that, right? It's just endless. I think what you're saying is the strength comes from conversation, and not necessarily conversation in which we all agree. You know, Ronit and I are on opposite ends of the spectrum. We publish magazines. She's on the left, I'm on the right. But we all agree that this conversation among us is really, really crucial.
And it really is. These are very valuable. Sorry, Ronit, before we end, your thoughts?
I think it's also, it is a responsibility. I mean, I do feel I need to be visible. I need my voice to be heard. I was never really politically, you know, I mean, I know what's happening. I vote. I have, you know, a responsibility for that. But I was never, I think October 7 changed me in a way that is much more complex than, you know, people think. It's, yes, it's the trauma, but it's also the just looking around and suddenly realize that if you don't speak up, if you don't become a voice out there, there's a danger of you disappearing, because it feels like that's what the world wants.
That's exactly.
I mean,
what
if we
want.
You know, it's a problem. They want us to disappear, and you know, we can't afford to do that. Jews can't afford to do that. That's what we've been fighting for. That's the resilience. So I have a responsibility to speak, to converse, to listen. You know, to show my side. It is a responsibility.
We do have to leave it there. I'm getting a lot of very, very real gestures to say, guys, you're over time. I know. It's just a very, very enjoyable chat, as always. Professor Bill Kohlbrenner, Ronit Eitan, thank you as always. Wishing you both a Shabbat Shalom.